If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome back. My guest tonight, he's the host of The O'Reilly Factor on the Fox News program channel. His new book is called Killing Patton, The Strange Death of World War II's Most Audacious General. Please welcome back to our program, Mr. William O'Reilly. William! Hello, William. Have a seat. I'm glad, given the Ebola scare, you still are shaking my hand. I think that's a positive step. I know you're very frightened, and I just want to tell you everything's going to be okay. There you go, baby. Keep that going. That's settled down. The book is called Bill O'Reilly, Killing Patton. It's like the eighth. We're just going to call this series Killing Trees. They sell like crazy. It's one of them.
You didn't read it, though.
No, I did not read it. I'm going to wait for the Lifetime series.
But I want you to direct it.
Yeah, I will direct it.
I want you to direct it.
I'd be happy to direct it.
I know you would be good.
I'm a director now.
I know. You have a vampire movie coming out.
Something like that. It's one of them tween movies where love is found unexpectedly.
That's the theme of Killing Patton.
No, it's not. Here's what I love about this. Look at the cover there. It's just like Patton's just sitting there, and Hitler's just giving him the eyeballs. Look at that. Look at Hitler. Oh, I'm going to get you. All right. Listen to me. Here's all I want from you today.
Uh-huh.
This is it. This is all we got to do in this conversation.
Okay.
Just one. I have one simple goal.
Yeah.
I want you to admit that there is such a thing as white privilege. That's all I want.
I know. I knew you were.
That's all I want. That's it. Just a little. I just want you to say, I'm terribly, terribly wrong on this. I just want you to look at me
and say, in your case, there is white privilege.
No, thank you.
The fact that you're here, sitting there.
Thank you.
He doesn't even shave.
What?
He doesn't even, look at you.
What? That
look,
I shave?
What? There isn't, you
no.
didn't shave?
This
look at
growth
this.
Is from not, it's called Jewish privilege. It happens. We are a hirsute people.
Oh.
You have said, you stated this.
Yeah.
There is no, I don't believe that there's a thing called white privilege.
There is not.
See, now, okay, now we have a conversation we can have.
Okay, look, if there's white privilege, then there has to be Asian privilege.
What?
Because Asians make more money than whites.
What?
Didn't know any of this, huh?
Well, not in Vietnam. What kind of Asian? You have to...
Asian Americans.
Well, no.
Asian Americans.
Depends on where they're from, if you're looking at...
They're from Asia. They're Asian Americans.
I understand that,
good.
But as a...
Okay, they make more money, higher education, more affluent. Asian privilege, not white privilege.
That, you're missing the point. And the
sorry to confuse you with facts.
You're not, it's not the, that's the, okay, here we go. Yeah. The Asian experience in America, the Asian immigrant experience, is very different from the black experience.
Yes.
So it's really, they're not equivalent. And either way, white people, males, set the system. So that's what privilege is that white people set the system that, yes, maybe Asian immigrants, once immigration policy was liberalized, have done better over these past 30 or 40 years. But there has been a systematized subjugation of the black community. Would you not agree with that?
Sure. I mean,
well, then
everybody
that's it.
Knows.
That's white privilege. You just did it. That's it. We're done. You just did it. You just did it. That's all. That's
what
all
happened
this is.
To that hand sanitizer? You almost touched me. Look.
That's all this
that
is.
That was then. This is now.
Oh, it's right? There was white privilege,
maybe,
but it no longer exists.
Maybe you haven't figured out that there is no more slavery, no more Jim Crow, all right? And
The
most powerful man in the world
Oh boy.
Is
here we go.
A black American.
Oh boy.
And the most powerful woman in the world, Oprah Winfrey, is black. Okay?
Being able to give people a free car does not make you the most powerful woman in the world. But listen. Listen closely, because
I see... Don't mess with Oprah.
No.
She'll come in here and shave you.
I see the issue here. You don't believe that the residual effect of... I mean, slavery and Jim Crow are dead. But the residual effects of that systemic subjugation exist today.
It absolutely exists today.
Let's go a different way.
It exists for every race, not at that extent. All right?
So that's white.
Don't put forth, mm-hmm. all right, this, oh, white privilege, and if you fail, that's why you fail. All right? America is now a place where if you work hard, get educated, mm-hmm. and an honest person, you can succeed. That's what should be put out there.
You are carrying
all this
You are carrying more of a burden as a black person in this country than a white person in this country. Individually.
Individually,
don't stop and frisk Wall Street bankers.
Is different.
Even though they've done far more damage to the economy.
They don't stop and frisk.
White people, listen to me. White people do more drugs in this country than black people,
yes.
but black people make up a far higher majority of drugs.
Do you know why that is?
Yes.
You do know why that is. Why is that?
Because black people, it's about real estate to some extent. There has been a systemic subjugation through real estate. Black people are ghettoized in this country.
They're forced and those to ghettos live there. They have to live there. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, you're getting to a bad place, my friend.
Listen, all right, this is the usual white guilt liberal
stuff. This is
stuff
not guilt.
That
you this
guys
is fact.
Throw out
I don't
there
feel
forever.
Guilty.
You should.
Why?
You're getting paid for this.
No, you mean for this?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back here.
You should be very guilty.
What made you culturally? No. What made you culturally? Do you think your upbringing gave you values,
yes.
ethics?
Yes, it did.
You didn't grow up rich, right?
No, we didn't.
But you worked hard.
Much money at all.
Right.
I did.
You worked hard.
Right.
You lived where?
Levittown. New York.
So it gave you a nice, stable, a cheap home. There was no down payments. It was this incredible opportunity. No, those houses
were just
subsidized.
Yeah.
It wasn't lavish.
They weren't subsidized.
But
they were sold to GIs, and the GIs got a mortgage they could afford.
Let me just ask you a question.
You're making a huge mistake.
No. Let me just ask you a question.
Yes.
Did that upbringing leave a mark on you even today?
Of course. Every upbringing leaves a mark on people.
Could black people live in Levittown?
Not at that time. They could not.
So that, my friend,
my
is what
friend?
We call in the business white privilege.
Okay. That was in 19...
No!
That was in 1950, all right? 1950.
Were there black people living there in 1960?
In Levittown?
Yes.
I don't know.
There weren't.
How do you know?
Because I read up on
it. Oh, you read up? You don't know that.
I do know
that. I can find somebody.
My point is this. Even today...
Why would you want to live there? It's a nice place, but it's not a place like you... It's not like Bel Air.
Because it's a place that built values. What you don't understand is...
There were millions of black neighborhoods that built values.
But imagine growing up knowing that you, as an American, as a GI who fought in World War II, couldn't buy into that... Because you were less.
It was unfair.
You were not there.
It was unfair.
And the residue of that continues today, and that is white privilege.
It's all right. If you want to say it's white privilege,
I'm not
because whites didn't have it as bad
I'm
as
saying
blacks,
it exists.
Fine. But that's not
it.
What's happening here in contemporary society.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Let me repeat this, and I'll do it slowly.
All right.
So even you can understand.
All right.
If you work hard, if you get educated, if you're an honest person, you can make it in America.
If you live in a neighborhood where poverty is endemic,
yeah.
it's harder to work hard.
It's harder
to get an education.
Hey, you're it was harder around. For me than it was for the white guy in Garden City. It's all relative. Yes, it's harder if you're a ghetto kid. Yes, but can you do it? Yes.
Yes, you can. You can also win the 100-yard dash on one leg.
Oh,
but
stop.
It's harder.
Stop. All right.
And
it's
just
harder.
All I'm asking is this. Here's all I'm asking.
Yes.
Here's all I'm asking. Because this would go a long way towards healing what I think is a huge racial issue in our country. Just an acknowledgement of that. Nobody's blaming you.
Every fair
Why
person
so
acknowledges
that, not,
and I've said it many times on The Factor, the highest rated cable news show in the world. All right. The African-Americans
have
it
harder.
Somebody
hasn't seen Megyn Kelly yet.
Oh.
She's crushing you, dude. She's crushing you.
Now, you're misleading
She's
this
She's crushing
audience.
You.
You're misleading.
All right. All I'm saying is
you
admit
it. You have the sanitizer again?
Yes. You admit. So here's my point. So we've come to agreement. You admit that white privilege exists, and while it's not an excuse, it is a reality.
It doesn't exist to any extent where individuals are kept back. because of their color or promoted because of their color. Look, you and I are lucky guys. We made it. We worked hard. It's not because we're white.
Wait. Well.
Oh, you think I'm sitting here because I'm white? What are you, a moron? I'm sitting here because I'm obnoxious, not because I'm white.
No, sir, listen to me. The point is this. When you try and reduce it to being solely about that, absolutely. But my point is this. Women face this and minorities face this. They have to make strategic calculations in their lives that white guys never have to make. We never have to worry about walking down certain streets because somebody's going to catcall us. We never have to worry about if, when we move into a neighborhood, we're going to be accepted. These are the types of things that
we're
talking about.
Maybe you didn't have to worry. I did. If I had to move into a neighborhood to be accepted, I wasn't accepted anywhere. Look, you're generalizing,
right.
And you're what you're doing is promoting victimhood.
No. Yes. All right. What you call victimhood, what I'm saying is by acknowledging that reality, that goes a long way towards
healing
the resentment. So what I don't understand is, why so defensive about it? Why is it that white people get so defensive about this? I'm not saying that life isn't hard. Middle-class white guys that are working hard to do what they can, and they look and they go, I'm not getting any privilege. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a group of people that were brought here. They didn't choose to immigrate here to get that better life. And just acknowledge that our country's had a problem
people
with that. And we
acknowledge
can move
that who are fair-minded. But you don't then take that and then condemn the modern society because
nobody's
of
condemning
it. Yes, you are. It's white privilege that makes you successful. I even heard that over here.
I just said it's not.
You know, if you're not a woman, it's not.
You know what
on.
I'll call it? I'll call it this, and it's a word I think you'll understand. A factor. It's a factor.
It's a factor. I'll give you the factor business.
You did. You're giving me the factor. Common cause. That's it. That's all.
Oh, you have to sign a paper?
Right here. Okay. So we're okay.
Are we on the air?
We've been on the air the whole time. Let me tell you something. This was a beautiful moment in healing. Between not just black and white, Jew and Irish, tall and short. This was a historic moment.
Yeah.
Are you
happy now, Stuart? Are you happy?
Happiness is not what comes by me. But let me say this. Your humility has moved me. You are like Pope Francis that has taken the Catholic Church into an era of acceptance and humility. You, Bill O'Reilly, can lead the flock of the Fox Fearful to a better place. I believe in you. Welcome back to my guest tonight, former governor of Arkansas, former presidential candidate, also a best-selling author. His new book is God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy, which happens to be the name of my theme restaurant. Please welcome back to the program, Mike Huckabee, sir. Beautiful hug. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Listen,
good to be back.
I want to talk to you. This is, all right, the book is called God's Guns, Grits, and Gravy. You have a show on Fox News. You had a show.
I had a show.
How long
did
you have it for?
6.5 years.
And you
better than I deserve.
And you quit.
Yes.
To run for president.
Well, very likely, very possible.
Let me tell you something. Go back and beg them for your job. You've made a terrible mistake. What are you doing?
See, that's the view of the people who live in the Bubbleville that I talk about in this book.
What do you mean, America?
No. Now, the whole point is that there's a real clash of cultures, and there is a disconnect between people who live in the bubbles of New York, Washington, and Hollywood versus the people who live in the land of the Bubbas.
It sounds like there's an idea, there's a sense of like, well, people who live on the coast are not real, that you're talking about like the Bubbas are real and we're not.
No, it's not a matter of reality. It's a matter of different perspective. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
There's a big difference between people who are well-educated and people who are smart. And a lot of people who are very well-educated, who are, let's say, the Harvard faculty,
yeah.
believe that the people who live out in this part of the world where I live and fly over country,
uh-huh.
those red states that people think, right. those people are nuts.
But you believe that the Bubbas are better than the Bubbles.
No, different.
No, better.
I want to explain who we are to the people who live in the Bubbles, because those of us who live in Bubbaville, we mm-hmm. get the people in the Bubbles, because all the television shows and movies are all about the people in the Bubbles.
No, you don't get it.
6.5 years, I've come to New York, and I've seen the difference in the attitudes and lifestyles and culture. It's not that one is better.
Yes, it is.
Well, if it is,
you believe one
it
is
would
better.
Be Bubbaville.
Here's,
let me, no,
here's
let,
what
let
I
me
believe.
Take that point there, about this.
But this feels like it's contrivance. There's no real Bubbleville and Bubbaville. You have this idea of the Hollywood culture. And the example, you sort of use Jay-Z and Beyonce as an example of that. You view that as a sort of a permissiveness that you think is not great for our children. Is that correct?
Well, it was one page out of a 240-page
book. I understand, but it's representative
book.
Of that idea
it's
of
illustrative a culture
of a
chapter
war.
Called The Culture of Crude. And here's the point that I was
right.
making with
right.
the whole, Beyonce is such a mega talent.
Yes.
She can do anything.
Right.
I mean, she really, she's got exactly. the pipes. To
right.
sing.
Exactly.
She's got the moves to dance.
She's
she does not have
she doesn't
to
go. Need to.
She doesn't have to be vulgar right.
exactly.
in order to set a trend.
Exactly.
That's
and
the
you
point.
See that as indicative of the difference between Bubbaville and Bubbleville, because we are more permissive in that way, right?
Not necessarily. It's that the thing that disturbs me, let's say, about when you see Beyonce, who is a role model to young girls.
Right.
Young girls
sure.
want to be like her.
Right.
Do you know any parent who has a daughter that says, honey, if you make really good grades, someday when you're 12 or 13, we'll get you your own stripper pole. I mean, come on, John. We don't do that
I think
in our
that's
culture.
Diminishing Beyonce in a way that's truly outrageous.
I'm
but
not saying
I will
that
say it... this. But now, here's where I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
Here's the blind spot
All right.
of Bubbaville.
Okay.
All this stuff about the culture, and it's so insidious, and it's just, you don't have to do that. This is a clip from a very wholesome show on Fox News.
I know where you're going with this.
I hope you do.
Yeah, I do.
Play the clip.
Okay. Make a pussy purr with a stroke of my hand. They know they're getting it from me. Uh-huh. Know just where to go when you need some loving man. They know I'm doing it, Mike, and I'm doing it all the time. I like to scratch that fever.
So, that is a song called Cat Scratch Fever. The bass player there was a gentleman by the name of Mike Huckabee. That is on a show in the middle of the day that children can watch.
No, it's at
that
night.
That ain't about bacteria.
It's not?
No. But here, do you see my point? You excuse that type of crudeness because you agree with his stance on firearms.
Oh.
You don't approve of Beyonce because she seems alien to you. Johnny Cash shot a man just to watch him die.
Let me respond, however.
That's some gangster.
Please, let me respond.
All right.
When Ted Nugent did that song,
mm-hmm.
1978,
mm-hmm.
never got nominated for a Grammy. He didn't perform it on national television. In fact, you know what the song of the year that was?
Mm-hmm.
Or that year was? It was a tie between Evergreen and You Light Up My Life. And John Denver hosted the Grammys. My point is, that song is an adult song. Geared for adults. But today, we have a very different kind of depiction and things that are considered perfectly okay for kids.
My point
and
is...
that's the difference.
You can't single out a corrosive culture and ignore the one that you live in because you're used to it. And you don't feel that
there,
it's...
I want you to, though, read the book and find...
Oh,
that
I
there
read
is
it.
A very... Did you? Okay.
It ain't Shakespeare.
No, it's no. I did not write this for the Harvard faculty
no,
because
listen,
it might be over their heads.
The way that you use the term Harvard
yes.
as a derogative, it blows my
Harvard
mind.
Harvard is a wonderful place. However,
no. But don't you think you're using it as a derogative?
No. Look,
you're saying you know those professors at Harvard that are experts in their fields. Like it's
no.
It's weird.
I've spoken at Harvard. The bright. Kids there, but
right.
here's the point.
Yeah.
Sometimes people who have lived in that world believe that the education that they have
mm-hmm.
is absolutely so superior to the education that somebody may get out there in the interior of the country at a state
sure.
school. Now, let me just
and
say
And don't you feel that people who live in the other parts of the country believe the education they got, whether it be on a farm or in a thing is superior. Isn't that my whole point?
That's why I said the difference between...
Each group believes that they are somehow different from the other
and better.
But
there's a difference, and this is the point I made, is there's a difference between education and smart. If you your car breaks down in the middle of the night on the country road, who do you want coming by? An MBA and a Beamer? Or do you want a couple of good old boys in a pickup truck with a toolbox in the back? Just tell me, which one?
Both of those scenarios feel very frightening to me.
And they probably should.
I want AAA. God, guns, grits, and gravy!
And gravy.
And the gravy. Mike Huckabee.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.